Let's begin Rav to Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud. It's on page. It is on page 170. Okay, page 170. Perek Yud Pasuk. Perek Yud. Sorry, Perek Yud Aleph. What am I saying? Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud. Okay, Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud on page 170. Achrei Hashem Yelechu Ke Arye Yishag Ki Hu Yishag V'yecherdu vanim miyom. Okay, so let's right away see how the Mitzudos translates the pasuk. Pasuk Yud on page 170 in the Mitzudos. Achrei Hashem, return to Leimer. Oz yelchu yishol achrei Hashem. The Mitzudos l'shitas learns that this pasuk is a continuation. It is a continuation that's saying after Kadosh Baruch Hu, Oz yelchu yishol achrei Hashem el artzam. Then after they do tshuva, after Hashem says in the previous sukkah that he will not pour out his wrath upon the Jewish people, the time will come when they will do teshuva, they will return to Eretz Yisrael. Into one place, okay. Ke Arye Yisha, kumo sha'al yidei, sha'agas ha'arye, mis'asfim elov kol ha'chayos ki hu ha'melech aleihem. When a lion roars, It's a call to gather. Just like at a time of war, when they blow the shofar is a sign that everyone should come together for a purpose. The lion is the king of the animals. It's the melech of the chayos. So when the lion roars, this is a calling, a call. What is it, a clarion call? Is that what it's called? A clarion call? This expression? Yeah. It's a call. Everyone should come together. Kein yisasu kulam achri Hashem ki hu yishag ritzen leimar. Yoirer halavavos kiilu yishrag b'kol. Hashem is going to arouse the hearts of men as if Hashem is yishrag b'kol. The Yisrael hanekurim bonim lamokam yimaru lavay mipaasya will come from the ends of the earth. Okay, so now with that in mind, let's just look over here with the mitzudos to see before we translate the pasuk inside based upon the mitzudos David v'yecherdu. What does the v'yecherdu mean in the mitzudos siyin on the left side? Ayin mihirus yecherdu literally means terror. It means fear. But in this context, it's a borrowed term, it means swiftly. The chipozon raf, very swiftly, kumo, vayecherdu, ziknei ho'ir likrasoi, the ziknei ho'ir, they very quickly gathered towards him. Okay, so here, we're through the pasuk inside, acharei, after, meaning, it doesn't really explain what is the after in the mitzudos, but seemingly it means that at a point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Klal Yisrael kindness. Hashem shows chesed rachamim for Klal Yisrael. Then at that point in time, the Jewish people will gather and it will be ke'arye yishag. Hashem here is the metaphor. The arye is a metaphor for Hashem. Hashem will roar and that will be a calling for all of Klal Yisrael. Kihu yishag. Hashem will give forth a loud roar. The Yecherdu, swiftly, the Bonim, Klal Yisrael, Bonim Atem Hashem Lokechem, they are going to gather Miyam. Miyam means from the ends of the earth. They're going to swiftly come to Eretz Yisrael. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yud, Ke'ari Yishag, Oid Yishag Lochem, Ke'ari Sheyetsu Menagolus, Hashem will roar to them like a lion that they shall come forth Menagolus, Yelchu Acharav, and they will follow Hashem. V'yachadu bonim yom, t'yosam v'yiskanshun, gav losa mima'arava. The word v'yachadu, he learns, will gather. That's not like the mitzudos. The mitzudos, it means to swiftly move. He is learning, it means they will gather all of the galvasa, means all of the exiles, mima'arava, from the ends of the earth. They're going to return to Hashem. Let's look at the Radak. Radak Pasuk Yud on page 171. Arichrei Hashem Yelchu Afal Pisha Asalek Avonam. Even though Shasalek Bavonam Shchinasi Mikirbam. Even though Hashem says I'm going to remove my Shchina from amongst them because of their sins, the Agle Oisam Neyartzam. Even though I'm going to cause them to go into exile, Oid Yezman Rav. There will be a time Sheyelchu Achrei Hashem the Yidreshuhu Bigolusam. There's going to be a time when Klal Yisrael will do teshuva. That's what acharei means. After, despite all of the golus and the tsaris that we find ourselves in over history, there will come a time when we will return to Hashem. Kama she'amar b'tchilas ha'sefer acharei achar, and the end of days, yashuvu b'nei Yisrael, they will return uvikshuas Hashem elokeihem. Ke Arye Yisha, Kemoha Arye Yisha Yishag, Shisasvi Chayse Lov, Kihu Melech HaChayos, just like the lion, the king of the animals. When it gives out a roar, it is a call for all the animals to gather. Likewise, Kein Yeosu B'nei Yisrael L'kol Shagas Hakel Yisbarach, Hashem will give out a roar, and the Klal Yisrael will come together. Keinu Yishag Kelema Yigole Lohem Li Yisrael B'golusam, Hashem will reveal himself to the Jewish people in their exile. Al Yidei Navi Oyoisu Meifes SheYishlach. So here Hashem is going to reveal himself, and that's going to be a sign for us to return to Eretz Yisrael. V'yachidu banu b'myom yonuhu mimitzroch marav. They're going to move from the east and the west. V'amar v'anim k'mo habanim shabayim liyad ha'av k'shkoy oisam. Like a father calls the children, they come. Kein yavohu ilav el makay ma'mikdash sh'yashiv sh'chinasu sh'cham v'yaz yiku banim. They'll be called banim. Like it says, banim atem v'ashem elokeichem. Yechardu. Okay, so he learns of yamin tenuah, a third parish. It means to move. It means to move. K'mo v'yechardu zignecho yil likrasai yinei charadet ha'alenu is called charad ha'zos. Okay, so he says over here, we have really three translations of the word yechardu. They all related one to another, of course. It either means swiftly, it means to move, or it means to gather. The Targum seems to say it means to gather. It's not exactly the same thing. They're very similar. They're all the same idea. They will very quickly move and gather together. If you want to put all the words together, it means they will move, they will mobilize, and they will mobilize swiftly and gather together. All right, let's now then the Yam. Yeah.
So that's much later. So
okay.
What I was thinking was
Will
Street. Over there, it's already,
happened. Interesting. Here it's in the future tense, there it's in the past tense. Arye Shog Milo Yira? I don't know.
One of those two. Yes, the next to the last pasuk, because the next pasuk ends that Torah in my mind. Maybe.
Okay.
Would that be the case, then it's almost.
Okay, let's see. Then he said the word Yam. What is Vizorcha Miyam Shu Amarov? Okay, the Yam means the West. Okay, Western civilization. Isn't that interesting over here? They're referring over here to the times of Mashiach. We consider ourselves to be in the Western civilization because it's interesting. When they went to Gaulus, they didn't go West. They went North and they went East. Okay, all of the European. No, it's not true. It's not true. They did go West. They did go west, talking by Hasheni, but they did go west. So yeah. So therefore, v'yozachem miyam shu hamar v'hu lehadil l'shar peyos v'yachacham Rabbi Avraham ben Ibn Ezra zal peyos miyam k'mash peyos shachakein mitzrayim v'yashur, referring to those two lands. Kihem ma'aroviyos droim yosivu l'snam ma'aroviyos nam to the west, but it's the southwest. It's the southwest. So therefore, it's good enough. We're calling it the west. Okay. So this is the peyos of the Maradak. Let's see the Malbum. 92. Malbum page 1 second on the Malbum pasuk. Yirach v'Hashem yelechu kishiyuchutz le'ir sham yisham yimtzu es Hashemuchon leches el hagoyla b'risham v'heim yelchu acharav. Okay, Hashem is going to lead them. Hashem is going to be with them in Golus, and Hashem will draw them out. Hashem will guide them. V'hu yishoer kadosh b'kirbam lehashkiach alehem b'agoyla. Hashem will protect them, will guide them, shalo yashmidem melech Ashur, they should not be destroyed. Ka'arye yishog, omnam.
It's almost.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's right after Hoshea.
Aha. So it's the same time.
No, you have.
So
it's the same time. One of them says, we say many times that when Hashem sends down a nevuah, so everyone interprets it in their own, it's raw. And each prophet is able to describe it and develop it, nurture it in their unique understanding.
He mentions it in that Haftorah, he mentions it, of course, more than one time. Hayisha Garye, Bahia Terephane Lo. The Terephane Lo means you don't cry for nothing. And then he says at the end, you know, we screamed and nobody did anything. So what do you think is going to happen, so to speak? I mean, you're saying it's a kind of work.
Interesting. It's an interesting metaphor that Hashem here is the lion. The lion is the. Interesting. No, the lion is Rosh Tevos. Aryeh Aleph is Elul. Resh is Rosh Hashanah. Yud is Yom HaKippurim. and he is Hoshana Rabba. They always say this, the Svarim that discuss the Yerech Ha'isonim, the Yimei Harachamim, so it's the Yimei Hadin are Aryeh, because it starts with Rosh Chodesh Elul, when we blow Shofar for 40 days, and if there are 30 days, 30 days until Erev Hashanah, and we begin to say Slichos, the whole process, you kick into high gear, Elul, and that goes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and the Kvitol is Hoshana Rabbah. So Aryeh Yishag Milo Yira, that's those Aryeh Yishag, when Aryeh, during the days of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah, these days are calling out to us to do Teshuvah. Milo Yira, doesn't the person fear that his life is on the line? These are the Yimei Hadin, Aryeh Yishag Milo Yira. So here, it's a similar thing over here, Yelchu Ke Aryeh Yishag, they're going to follow Hashem. Okay, I don't know how that really fits into this pasuk over here, but you think over here that the word Ari, you find different Nevi'im are focusing on the Ari. Hashem is not unique. He's not the only one that picked up on this concept called the Ariye roaring, and almost as well said, there he said the past tense, and we have over here, according to most of the commentators, it means one thing, Ari is a metaphor for Hashem, and because an Ari is the king of the animals, and when the king of the animals, when the lion gives out a roar, it is a call for all the animals to assemble. Likewise, we assemble when HaKadosh Baruch Hu... It's one of the four creatures. Aryeh. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out, we come. Okay, let's see the next words of the Malbim. Malbim over here says, Aryeh Yishag, Omnam. Hodi Elohim ki, Belechtoi lefneim el hagoyle lo yishag, Bekoyloi kol shakai, Rak yishag bekol Aryeh. Okay, so over here, the Malbim is giving us a bit of a negative twist.
Yeah.
Okay, he has a different approach. Whereas Rashi and the Mitzudos and the Radak all assume, tell us the Aryeh is something very positive. It is a metaphor for Hashem. The Malbim says it's a downgrade. That until now, when we live living there, Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, in his as a manifestation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he called out to us. But in Golos, Hashem is going to call out to us, not in the form of a Hashem, but rather through the Umay Sa'olam. It's the Ashur and Mitzrayim. It's something which is a bit frightening. Let's see. Omnam, Hoidia Lohem ki bilechta b'lefneim el ha-goyla lo yishag b'koyloi kol shakai. You're not going to hear Hashem, it's kol shakai, rak yishag b'kol Aryeh. What does that mean? V'hamalitza b'zeh, the metaphor is, ki malchus Ashur v'chin malchus Bavel shetovsa malchus Achrav Bavel conquered Ashur, Haisa Nimsheles Bitsuras Aryeh, Kemo Shara Doniel Bemara, Kad Moisa Ke Aryeh, the first creature was like an Aryeh, Shuhu Malchus Bavel, it's the Malchus of Bavel, Vachin Ro Yecheskel Asar Shaloi, Bamerkova Shepona Pnei Aryeh, Kemo Shepirashti Sham, the Omar Ola Aryeh Mi Subichoi, Bavel is compared to an Aryeh. The lion has risen up from his thicket, from the forest. Ulikamon, Perikud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, Vo'ehi, Lohem, Kemo Shachal. Shachal is a snake. Yoimar Hashem ki yislabesh begolus besar ho'uma shehigle esbonav sham. Uveze yislabesh b'tsuras Aryeh ucha Aryeh yishag. What does that mean? Return to Laimar Shlo Yishag Bekoyle Ko Az La Sois Nisim Bigluyim Rak Yata Lev Melech Vesodim Alehem Litoiva. Hashem will influence the kings, the ministers, that they should do good things for the Jewish people. The Yashkiach Alehem Behashkocho Nisteres Ad She Yidome Sho Arye Shoig. It looks like the lion is roaring. The Amelech Manig Osam Bitoiv Vechoyno Osam Hashkochas Hashem Tiel Lefi Shag Shagas Arye. Shu shefa hasar vehanhogas hamelech v'sada v'kol ze yishag lehoishiyam. Mamash shenad yoma, President Trump. Mamash shenad yoma. So over here, what he's saying over here, he's saying a very fascinating idea of the Malbim, not like Rashi the Masudi. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Aryeh. He agrees. He agrees in essence with the perish of Rashi and the Mitzvah that the Aryeh is a metaphor for Hashem. But it represents a hanhoga, a hidden hanhoga. An Aryeh is a chaya. It's an animal. There's nothing divine about a lion. It's nothing more than a creature. Okay, it likes to eat and sleep. That's all Aryeh is all about. It likes to show its power. It likes to make a lot of noise. It eats a lot. It sleeps a lot. It's violent. So what is it? Is it a spiritual creature? There's not much spirituality in a lion. Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, influences the lion to do good things for the Jewish people. It comes to protect us. It comes to scream at all the other nations of the world and tells them to shape up and behave themselves. I mean, what more do you need than the Yonah D'Yoma? Look.
Why do they call it the king of the lion? The king of the animals?
They're all afraid of it. Yeah. They're, all the animals are afraid of the lion. It calls the shots. It calls the shots. No one in the forest makes a move without permission, without taking into consideration the consequences of what the king of the forest will say, the lion. So it represents, according to the Malam, a hanhaga nisteres. In Bizman Shayishol Isim Ritsoina Shalmakam, even Eretz Yisrael, the base of Yerushalayim, there it is, you can sense the divine revelation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is guiding and protecting Klal Yisrael throughout the entire world. But when we are in Golus and there is something that we know as Hester upon him, does not mean Hashem disappears. Hashem disguises himself by influencing the powers of the world. And therefore, it's like the lion is the one that's roaring, not lion in contrast to Shakai, in contrast to appreciating and sensing that Hashem himself is calling the shots. And what more do you need then than what's happening in modern times today? Eretz Yisrael, the move of the embassy, and Iran, and all the various things that are happening in the world, happening at such a swift pace. Hashem is influencing world leaders to recognize Eretz Yisrael, to recognize the greatness of Klal Yisrael, to recognize their history, their legacy, and that they are, whether they say it or not, but it comes to the conscience of the whole world that they are the Am HaNivchar. It's either in their subconscious or their conscience, and it's definitely happening today. In a very significant way. And according to the Malbim, this is a fulfillment of what it means that we, Klal Yisrael, we're going to follow Hashem Yelchu Ke'Aryeh Yishak. It's Hester Panim, but the Hester Panim, the events of the world, the leaders of the world, the Sodim, the Malachim, they are the Aryeh Yishak calling out to Klal Yisrael to do Teshuvah and to return to Eretz Yisrael. A shachal is a snake, right? So that's another example. This is his interpretation. Yes. All right. Let's see the next words of the Malbim are the Yecheru of the Malbim Kihu Yishak. It's on the bottom page 171, the last paragraph. Kihu Yishak. Avul Oid Yovay Eishu Yishak. We're not finished yet. Shelo Yishak Aryei Rak Yishak B'Koyloi Kolulu Elokim. Hainu sheyinoi seisi mohem niflo isav ki meked Hashem will do for Klal Yisrael miracles like in previous times. V'yoz v'yecherdu v'anim yom oz yimaharu b'nei kel chai hanusunim bagolus b'marv lot seis minagolus. Beautiful what he says, because over here he says the second time it says hu yishag, there it does not say Aryeh. See, in the beginning of the pasuk it says first is a process. First, achrei Hashem yelchu. They will follow Hashem, but Hashem is not going to be benigle. Hashem is going to be benister. And the nister is in the form of ke'aryeh yishag. The leaders of the world are like wild animals. And and the leader of the wild animals is the aryeh. They are going to influence the world and influence Klal Yisrael to return to Hashem and to do teshuvah. And then will come, after this process is complete, will come part B. Part B is Hu Yishak. Hu means Hashem. Hu means Yudkei Vavkei. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam himself will roar, will call out to Klal Yisrael. Chadesh Yomeinu Kikedem, where Hashem himself will guide and lead us to the prophets, through Hashem's Shechina. And then the Yecherdu Vanim Miyam, swiftly, his children, Bonim Atem Hashem Elokechem, will return Miyam from the most remote corners of the world. They will return to Hashem. Very, very powerful stuff of how the Malam learned Shah in the Pasuk. Now let's learn some of the Mamar Chazal. K pasuk yud on page 170 on the bottom. Achrei Hashem yelchu ki arye yishag. Amar Rebbe Zera mireish ki avir chazin lul rabban duka ruhate lepirka b'shabbatam. Amino kam chalion rabbanon shabbata. When I witnessed the rabbanon running, they were running to the Beis Medrash. I told them that's not the way a Talmud Chacham walks in the street. You don't run. You're going to knock people down. Okay, the elderly people, they get very nervous. Very nervous when people start running in the streets. They feel like they're vulnerable. They're going to get run over. Especially if you all go on a bike, they go crazy. So therefore, you're not allowed to run on Shabbos. Running on Shabbos, that's not the tzura of the way a person walks on Shabbos. It's called Chilul Shabbos. You're profaning the Shabbos and conducting yourself in such a manner. Kevon wants the shamana. I heard Lahod the Rebbe Tanchum Amar Yishuv Ben Levi. Li'olam yoratz adam levar mitzvah v'afilu Shabbos. A person should run. Here is the source. Okay, you heard it here today. On this pasuk, you know, in Hosea, all the fundamentals of Yadus appear in these Nevi'im. Shenemar Achrei Hashem Yelchu ke'aryeh yishag. When a lion roars, you run. You don't go quick. You don't walk slowly. I also ran. I also, if you can't beat them, join them. I also would run to shul on Shabbos. That was one of the things that they said by the Hespedim, one of his children by the Hespedim, who made an impression upon me, is that he said that his father every Shabbos would take him to yeshiva, to Davin, and he described the streets, the East 7th Street, to Cortelio to East 9th, and we got to East 9th Street, the corner of Cortelio and East 9th. So our father, he began to run. He would run down, if you look to Rav Das, he would run to the yeshiva, and I guess, and he told her, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to run to the base, to the shul, to the base finish of Shabbos. And that's what his son said by the Hesped, Mamish, in front of his father. He remembers that. Mamish, what it says over here is, Achrei Hashem Yelchu Ke'aryeh Yishag. He's supposed to run to the Beis Medrash even on Shabbos. Okay, the next words, next chazal, are you the Verech L'Shem Shemaim? Another chazal, a person should always, everything he does should be L'Shem Shemaim. Echoi Ves HaShemaim, Yiros HaShemaim, Hodor V'Sos B'Chol HaMitzvah, it's a beautiful expression. Person should have fear of heaven, should love heaven, should have splendor and rejoice in the mitzvahs. Hechidami L'Shem Shemaim. What does it mean a person should do everything L'Shem Shemaim? So the Medrash answers, Delei Ovid Ki Hechi Deleimrei Olma Pilon Bifar Hesya Hu Deko Ovid. Do not say like the world is there in public, they serve. Elo Ehoives HaShemayim Yiret HaShemayim V'loi Teima Ahava Elo Hinhohu Al Yidei Redifa. Love, the way you show that you love Hashem is to run. Dechsev Achrei Hashem Elokecham Yelchub Ka'aryeh Yishag V'chi Yesh Lecha Adam Sheyuchal Halach Achrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could the pasuk literally mean the person should walk after Hashem? Hashem is not tangible. V'yaksev Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Oich Lehu Ela Lemehenei L'salmidei Chacham V'latzadikim. Okay, so over here it says, okay, he's mixing a couple of different ideas together. I'm not exactly sure how all these things come together, but he's saying over here is that the way a person shows that he loves Hashem, first of all, this is the Mahan, the last thing he says is to give benefit to Talmidei Chachamim, to support them, to give them benefit, to appreciate them. But before that, he says the way you show that you love Hashem is to run. When you love something, you don't just sit back and walk leisurely, you run to pursue the object of your desire. Don't be like the world just, don't follow the masses. The first part of the Chazal, it says, just don't. I'm not exactly sure what the translation of these words, how it all comes together, but the person has to show in his lifetime his sincerity, his authenticity, his true love for Hashem, and that is expressed in a person being a zoris, in running after Hashem, expressed in this pasuk of Ka'aryeh Yishag, when the lion roars, you get moving. You don't sit around. And as the pasuk includes, V'yecher duvanim, the people respond with alacrity by running even from the ends of the earth. Okay, go to Pasuk Yudalf. Now we go, when we follow up again, we continue this theme of running. Yecherdu chitzipar mimitzrayim uchiyoyna Me Eretz Ashur. Okay, we have the famous pasuk we say in Rosh Hashanah, V'hoya b'yoy mahu yitoka b'shoifer gadolu v'hoivdi b'eretz Ashur. V'hani d'achim b'eretz Mitzrayim v'yishtachvu l'Hashem ha'akodesh b'Yerushalayim. Today is Yom, today is the after, but it's also an extension of Yom Yerushalayim. And here we have these two things, these two different nations. They will swiftly depart Egypt like a bird, and like a yoyna me'eretz Ashur, v'yoshavtim al botehem, Hashem will return them to their homes, ne'um Hashem. Let's see the Mitzvot Pasuk Gidal from the bottom, page 172, yecherdu, v'chein yimaharu. This goes back to what he said in the previous Pasuk, they will swiftly run, lova mi'mitzrayim mi'ashur, kitzipor uchu yoyna, ha'me'maharim l'uf, which are swift to fly. I will return them to their homes. Let's see Rashi. Is there any Rashi on this pasuk? Rashi? No, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Let's go to the Radak. Pasuk Yidalef. We have to discuss these two different words. Yecherdu kitzipor b'mitzrayim. Oysam shehem b'mitzrayim yecherdu b'mitzrayim lo shuv li'artzam. K'mo yatzipor ha'charedo lo shuv el kina. Just like a tzipor is swift to return to its nest, k'moshe himshil nidoy to adam el nidoy hatzipar, just like we compare the movement of a person to the movement of a bird, be'amray kitzipar noidedes min kina, just like a bird moves, noidedes means it totters and it moves quickly from its nest. Kein ish noided mi mekaymay himshil shuvay liartzoy litzipar shnemar kitzipar mimitzrayim uchiyonam yeretz ashur. The oisam shayim b'yaretz asho yecherdu lo tseis meimeno lo shuv el artzam. Akimo hayoyna hachareido lo shuv el shoychva. Kmo yish she'omar kein gam kein b'shivas hagolus.
Is yecherdu mean to be afraid?
No, so he's saying many, it goes together. That's what we said before in the previous pasuk. Previous pasuk we had different three perushim. And one of the interpretations means to be afraid, correct. But it all goes together because when a person is afraid, this is a Chabad expression, when a person has a sense of fear, he responds swiftly. When a person is not afraid, he's lazy. He doesn't mobilize. When a person senses the imminent danger, that causes him to move. It causes him to get going. So all of these words are related one to another. Yechadu means to be afraid, but in this context, what does it mean afraid? So some will tell you, it means you're a Shemayim. You're afraid of Hashem, so you do His will. Okay, not everyone takes that approach. They take the term and they borrow it. It means they're going to be quick. Because when a person is afraid, they move very swiftly. Okay, so here it says over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu avoid l'shor b'kamas el shezocha b'kamas ha'shechoshu le'ozer bohem. The reason why we focus specifically on Mitzrayim and Asher, because these were two of the famous places where Klal Yisrael was Nichshol. Klal Yisrael, they put their assistance, they put their faith, their confidence in Egypt and in Asher, in different part times of history. And therefore we, whenever we refer to Geula, we refer specifically to these two different types of redemption. The Bali Machshava, they tell us that in Geulas, there are two different types of Geulas. There is the ghetto, and then there is the, which is normally associated with affliction and poverty and suffering. And then there is the assimilation, is where the Goyim open up the world to us, and Rachman al-Tzlan, there's assimilation, and there's success. Jews are very happy, they're very pleased with their life. But unfortunately, that comes at the cost of they lose their love. They lose their love for Eretz Yisrael. They lose their they become Rachman al-Tzlan. There's a degree of assimilation. So Mitzrayim is always a code word for times in history where the Jews were persecuted. You talk about like I guess in Poland to a certain degree, where they were hated, or Ukraine, Russia. And the Jews were Moiser Nefesh, they maintained their Yadus, some of the time at least, but they suffered. They suffered very, very much. And then when we talk about Ashur, because in Mitzrayim, that was the time in Mitzrayim, that refers back to the history of Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, in Egypt, there was Avodas Perach, Paro afflicted the Jewish people. We suffered. We lived in isolation in Goshen, and we suffered. Ashur means wealth. Ashur means that. It means happiness. Okay, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. Ashur represents the theme of happiness. And when Sancheirev took the Jews to Ashur, originally the first wave of exiles, he was very good to them. He took them first class. Okay, they gave him, he just said, you have to leave Eretz Yisrael. I don't want you to be too comfortable over here in Eretz Yisrael. He took him to Ashur, and the Jews assimilated. They had a very good life, at least in the beginning. So that represents the type of Golus, the form of Golus, where Jews, unfortunately, find are too comfortable in their environment. They think they own their country, and they, Rachmana Litzlan, lose a degree of Chiba for Eretz Yisrael. And that's the Golus of Ashur. And every single Golus in Jewish history can be broken down into one of these two forms. Either it's the Golus of Mitzrayim, the affliction, or it's the Golus of Ashur, assimilation. And when Mashiach comes, we are described as v'hoivdim, those that are oivdim bi'eretz Ashur, v'hanidochim bi'eretz Mitzrayim. And in fact, Chazal tell us that the Golus of Ashur is worse because it says oivdim. When it comes to v'oivdim bi'eretz Ashur, when Klal Yisrael has a good life in Golus and they begin to assimilate, they're oivet, they're goners, they're completely lost. When they are in Mitzrayim, when they're in a state of affliction and suffering and put in ghettos, somehow that causes them to be mechazek in their amunah in Hashem, and they suffer greatly, and the suffering is called, they've been pressed hard. The hani dochim, they're pushed, they're pressed, they're afflicted, the eretz Mitzrayim. So they are the oivdim, the eretz Ashur, the hanidochim, the eretz Mitzrayim. Every single golus and klal Yisrael is broken up into one of these two categories, and that's why we use these terms. And here in this pasuk, we have again this theme in different words. Hashem is telling us we're going to fly like a bird, we're going to escape swift like a bird, mimitzrayim, uchiyoyna. May Eretz Ashur. Notice that in this pasuk it's reversed. Why is it reversed? I have no idea. Okay, good. Chaymer Lidrush. In the famous pasuk that we say on the Yom Rosh Hashanah, the pasuk is Voha Oivdim from Yeshaya. That pasuk is from Yeshaya. Voha Oivdim be Eretz Ashur, Vahan Nidachim be Eretz Mitzrayim. There it's first Ashur, and then it's Mitzrayim. Hoshea, he switches it around. He says first, Kachitzipor mimitzrayim uchiyoyna me'eretz Ashur. V'choshavtim al botehem. Instead of referring to Yerushalayim, he uses the term botehem. As like I mentioned, this is very good, the parallels. The Nevi'im, Hosea and Yeshaya lived at the same time. Obviously, their transmitter, or their receiver, I'm sorry, their radio, their ham radio transmitter or receiver picked up the same nevuah. The question was how they took those earwaves, that nevuah, and expressed it. They each had a different, unique perspective, a unique way of bringing forth different speaker system. One used one speaker system, one had a different, the different mechanics of how to bring out the raw prophecy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down to this world. And he puts it with the terms of birds, and he puts first Mitzrayim, and then he puts Ashur. I mean, no doubt there must be some very big significance in why Davka Tzipor is related to Mitzrayim, and Yoina relates to Ashur. Only thing I can think of is a Yoina. We know that a Yoina is very loyal. A Yoina, Chazal tell us, a Tzipor, a Tar Uben Yoina. Chazal tell us, why should you take first a Tar? There's the famous Balaturim. A woman has to bring two birds. One bird. One bird is a chatas. One bird. Yes. The Balaturim says that a yona is loyal to its zivug. In the event that its zivug dies or it disappears, the ben zug will never remarry. Will never remarry. A tar is not like that. A tar is not as loyal. So Chazal said when a woman has to only bring one bird, the reason why it says first tar or ben yoina is a woman should better take a tar and not a ben yoina because of tsar balei chayim. If she takes one tar, so what's going to happen? You're taking one bird, so the mate, the ben zug, the other, the spouse, no, it will, it's a tragedy. Her the spouse disappears, but she'll get over it. She'll get another spouse. But the ben yoina will never get over her over its spouse. So if you take away one, the other one's going to mourn for the rest of its existence, and therefore don't cause it tsar balei chayim. Better take the tar, if you have a choice, not the ben yoina, because you're going to cause the counterpart to be in a state of mourning forever. So here it's interesting that there are many birds that we could compare Klal Yisrael to. And here when it comes to Eretz Ashur, we use the word yoina. Yoina has the connotation of loyalty. Loyalty to the Ben Zug, this refers to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu are considered to be Chosan Kala. Hashem is our Ben Zug. And some Amori Chazal, we're called the Chosan, and Hashem is the Kala. And in some Amori Chazal, we're the Kala, and Hashem is the Chosan. But there's a relationship of Chosan Kala to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, husband and wife. And here it's very interesting that we call a yoina May Eretz Ashur, the overwhelming characteristic of a yoina is its loyalty. And that's a very nice twist that in Eretz Ashur, we find ourselves out now, the idea that we've expressed, that we find ourselves today in the goals of Ashur, where Baruch Hashem a very good life, okay, more or less, and we feel very confident, very secure in our Golos, unfortunately. I shouldn't say that. I don't mean to be all the way around, but whatever it means. And but yet we're loyal. We're loyal to Hashem. Our first loyalty is Ribbono Shel Olam. We're Jews first, Americans second. Okay, that's a very important thing. To whom are you more loyal to? To America? Jewish Americans or Americans that are Jewish? American. Are you an American who happens to be Jewish? Or are you a Jew who happens to be living in America? Okay, when you pledge your loyalty, I pledge my allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Where is your loyalty? What do you know? You say there's some places they sing the national anthem and they sing Hatikva. Yeah. What do you do first? What do you do first? Do you first sing the national anthem or do you sing Hatikva? So I think the dinners that I've gone to, they first sing the national anthem. And then they sing Atikva. So
the foreign one comes first.
Why?
Atikva comes first and the national anthem.
No, yeah? Okay, I don't know. I used to go to a dinner every year of a certain, and they did both. So I used to ask them, why do you do it in this order? Shouldn't it be the other way around?
On Shabbos, the people who say
the Medina.
They do the Medina before they do it.
Right. Exactly. Do the Medina before you do. Wait. What do you do first?
You do first for the country, and then.
And then the Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael.
No, I do first Eretz Yisrael in my shul. That's how they do it.
All right, whatever. To each his own.
Not by me.
To each his own. Obviously. All right, whatever it is. Everyone has good intent. I have no doubt. Everyone has good intent. There's probably an argument you can make. You can make the argument both ways. Guarantee. You can debate it, and you can make the argument both ways, and everyone certainly has the right kavana. That's a given. I just want to bring out that point over here is clear. Now, what about the tzipar? So tzipar is interesting. The tzipar is ki yikorei kan tzipar lefonecha baderech. And what do you do when it comes to the tzipar? The tzipar is shaleach tishalach es ha'im v'yes habonim tikach loch. The tzipar is the bird. Okay, the tzipar is not just a klal. It's not just a general description of 1,000 birds. The tzipar is a very specific bird. It's a very specific bird. So it says over here, Yechadu Kitzipar Mimitzrayim. You cannot ignore the fact that Hosea is using the utmost precision in selecting these two creatures in his metaphor to describe the kibbutz Goliath, after 2,000 years of Golus, he's seeing what's happening today. And he's using two very specific words, the Tzipor and the Yoina. The Yoina in reference to Ashur, and the Tzipor in reference to Mitzrayim. Ashur represents the good Golus, the Golus where we are able to thrive, which comes with a very great danger of assimilation. And there, what does he use? The Yoina. Yoina represents loyalty. Although we are loyal to our country because they have been so good to us, our primary loyalty has to be to the Ribbono Shel Olam, our Ben Zug. Hashem is our Ben Zug, which is the Baal HaTorim. When it comes to Mitzrayim, which represents torture, represents the Golus of the ghetto, okay, when it comes to Egypt, the Golus of the ghetto, what is the bird that we focus on? The Tzibar. The Tzibar happens to be the bird that is tortured in the Torah. You find the Kan Tzibar. Ki yikorei Kan Tzibar lefanecha baderech. What do you do? Shaleach tishalach esav. Send away the mother. V'yesabonim tikach lach. Take the children. Know what happens? The mother comes back. Where are my children? And it says in the Medrash, the mother is molei tzar, enormous, enormous pain. And the bird goes and cries to Hashem. And when the bird cries to Hashem, it awakens Hashem's rachamim. If look, I have rachmanis on the bird, should I not have rachmanis upon Klal Yisrael? Just like I have rachmanis on the mother who lost her children, Hashem says, I'm also a mother. Mother's Day was yesterday. Yom Yerushalayim. I'm also a mother. I'm also a mother. Klal Yisrael are my children. And just as I have rachmanis on the mother bird who is in pain over the loss of her children, I think maybe the time has come I should have rachmanis on myself who I have lost my children. Klal Yisrael abonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. The time has come I should bring back my children. This is what Chazal say. Chazal say that sending away the mitzvah of Shluch HaKan, the reason why it is such an important mitzvah, although it appears to be a mitzvah in which we cause enormous pain to a creature, it's a mitzvah which goes against the grain of what the Yad is about, Tzar Bali Chayim, it's a necessary evil in a certain way because it awakens, Hashem saying to do this, it awakens in Hashem Rachmanis for Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu identifies with the Tzipor in relation to the Tzipor's Banim. Hashem is the Tzipor Kaviyachal, and we are the Banim, the aim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanis upon us. So over here, notice the Tzipor over here, we are dealing with the Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the Golus of Tsar. It's the Mitzrayim, it's the Golus of affliction, of torture, persecution. And therefore, we specifically focus on the word Tzipor. The Tzipor is the bird that suffers. And as Ramayevsky said very brilliantly, is that it's also in the Bris Ben Absarim. The Bris Ben Absarim, the Esatzipor Loi Basar. The Tzipor is the code word for Klal Yisrael. And although all the animals, the Chayos, Rashi here says all the Chayos, the wild animals, is a reference to the Umay Sa'ilam, Hashem will take the Umay Sa'ilam and split them and cut them apart, which is symbolic of Hashem will destroy the Umay Sa'ilam, Basvias HaTzipor, but Klal Yisrael Loi Basar. Nafshenu Kitzipor Nimlutami Pach Yekshim. Okay, our neshamas are like a tzipor that escapes from the trap of those who are Yoikeish, who trap us, from the trap of the hunters. Okay, so therefore, it's another metaphor you find the word tzipor in the Shir HaMalos. In the Shir HaMalos, the last one, it's the 15th one. The last, the Shir HaMalos, this is, and it's referring exactly to this Shir HaMalos refers to Geula. Shir HaMalos, Lulei Hashem Shoyelanu, Yoimano Yisrael, Lulei Hashem Shoyelanu, Bekom Aleinu Adam, Azai Chayim Bila Unu, Bacharois Apam Banu, Azai Maim Shitafunu. Okay, let's go further over here. Okay, this Kibbutz Golis, this Shir HaMalos alludes to Kibbutz Golis, and here it says exactly the same idea of the Tzipor. So this is a very fascinating metaphor to refer to these two creatures. Let's see the Radak. The Radak back in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yecherdu kitzipor min Mitzrayim. Oysam shayim min Mitzrayim. Yecherdu min Mitzrayim. Lo shavu alatim kumay tzibah hacharei lo shavu alkina. We did this. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Next word. Let's see. Yonim meretz Ashur. Okay. We did also. Yeah. Okay. Let's go further then. Right. We did. Sorry. Yeah. Correct. Let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbum Pasik Pasik Yud Aleph. The Chain Yechadu Kitsipo Lotseis Mimitraim Yechadu Kiyoina Lotseis Meretz Ashur Ki Hayoina. Yesh Mimineha Shehem Makidim Es Mekoimam Bimercha Gramoy. That's so he's telling us a very idea which is very well known. There's something that a bird knows, the chokhmah, the honing power of a bird is just beyond our understanding.
Right.
A bird can travel hundreds of miles, even thousands of miles, can return exactly back. They have a sense of navigation.
Same tree.
Same tree. They know exactly.
They land on the same tree they were the last year.
Wow. They can travel the whole world and know how to find their way back. No GPS, no nothing.
The
they have.
Salmon can also do that.
Can what? Fish. Dolphins. Also the salmon. Tremendous koyach. So Klal Yisrael, even though we're in very, very far away, we compared to birds, we have a sense of where we came from. And the pintel yid will always bubble, will always mushroom and make its way back and force us to return back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
They point to the thing, you take a bird, they blindfold the bird. And
even the blindfolded.
When it lands on the ground, blindfolded, the feet are always facing north.
No matter what.
100%.
Wow.
Your feet will face north no matter if you blindfold the bird. It has the built-in
a sense,
GPS.
A teeny little creature.
It's in the brain.
It's light. It's amazing with the chokhmah.
Right. Yes.
Try that.
They have. That's the experiment that they do. The feet will, if you blindfold the bird, his feet will always point north.
Every bird? No.
Every bird.
Okay, it's a remarkable, remarkable insight into the koyach of these creatures. Okay, let's over here take a look over here. Okay, let's look over here at the Chaimer Sanach. Okay, I love the Chaimer Sanach. His insights are always fascinating. Okay, the Chaimer Sanach, page 173. Yechardu kitzibam mitzrayim uchiyon meretz Ashur. Efshar. What is over here the significance, the metaphor of these creatures? The bemash shemati mishem harav marein harav. Rabbi Yohanes Anzal. Okay, the perish pasuk uvo avdim meretz Ashur. Yadidachem meretz mitzrayim. Shakavana da aseres hashvatim shem oivdim. Yavohu meretz Ashur. Vahani dachim goliyos yisrael hano doim rak shehem nidachim. Yovo b'eretz Mitzrayim, umisham yalu liyushalayim ad kan divarav. So he learns, I think what he really means to say is that it's referring to the Aseres Hashvatim and Yehudim Binyamin. He doesn't say Yehudim Binyamin, but maybe we can elaborate upon that. But he's saying over here the Oivet. This pasuk is this pasuk and its parallel in Yeshaya is a hope. Tikva that the Aseres Hashvatim will return. Because the Aseres Hashvatim were exiled by Melech Ashur. And therefore they're Oivdim. They are Oived. They're completely lost. Uvohu Ho'oivdim B'Yeretz Ashur. The Pasuk explicitly says the time will come when the Aseres Hashvatim will return. And then when it says Vahani Dochim B'Yeretz Mitzrayim, that alludes to everyone else. Who else is there? So you have to say everyone else refers to Yehud and Binyamin. Who else is everyone else? Okay, v'zeo sh'ama yechedu kitzibar mimitzrayim ha'golyois. Shabo mimitzrayim yechedu b'kitzibar lo'ashuv like a bird. U'choyino me'yeretz ha'ashur. A'aseres ha'shvatim shabo li'ashur. Elu v'yelu yechedu lo'ashuv l'eretz Yisrael. V'yoshavtim al botim. They're going to return to Eretz Yisrael, both nations. And by the way, by Eretz Mitzrayim, someone would say Pumfaker. I think of Rav Schwab. I think he really. We said this many times. He likes to learn like the what we call the musical chair theorem. And every generation, you have to figure out who is Egypt, who is Ashur, what is the characteristic of Mitzrayim, what is the characteristic of Ashur. When you figure out what they are, you'll be able to look in each time period in the world and you'll be able to understand that it's like musical chairs, that this nation today is Mitzrayim, this nation today is Ashur. And he likes to say, and I don't remember exactly, that America is Mitzrayim. America, the major themes
Ashur,
that...
Ashur, not Mitzrayim.
What?
Ashur.
No, this is a different approach. I told before that Mitzrayim represents the ghetto life. And Asher represents the good life. The,
right,
we're, no, so he says Pumfakert. He says Pumfakert, just the opposite. Just the opposite. That Mitzrayim, what was Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim, you know, they tortured Klal Yisrael at the end. At the end, it's one of the last 86 years. But they were there for 210 years. And in the beginning, they were very good to Klal Yisrael. But the problem is Mitzrayim was, from all the lands, was the worst. The moral values of Egypt was the worst of the entire world. Mitzrayim was called in the Torah the Erva Sa'aretz. The Erva is a makom of taiva, of tuma, everything that's connected kol ha'Torah kula. It was a very great danger. In fact, it says in the Medrash that Goshen, we think that where were they set up to be? Bes Yehuda shalach lefanav Goshna. So we're brainwashed in believing, oh, Goshen was the ideal place. It was like a Lakewood, right? Isolation, you got to go travel an hour, 2 hours in traffic to get there. Who's going to want to go there? It'll be a place where you'll just sit and learn. No gashmias whatsoever. Boy, the gashmias in Lakewood
Yosef
is...
told him to go there.
What?
Goshen.
Right. Everyone keeps on focusing on Goshen. Now, first of all, the Medrash says, what was Goshen? Goshen was legally owned by the Jews because it was a gift that Paro gave to Sarah when he abducted Sarah, and he almost died. And then he gave Avram Matanos, and what he gave him two Matanos. Hagar. Okay, a lot of good that did us. Okay, Hagar. He gave Avraham a gift. I'll give you a good shifcha, a good maidservant. He gave her Hagar. From that came Yishmael. Isn't it amazing? And who else did he get? And he gave him Goshen. I'm going to give you real estate in Mitzrayim Goshen. So Chazal, therefore, when Klal Yisrael went to Egypt, they went down, this Yehuda Shalach Lefan of Goshen, when they made the Yeshiva of Goshen, okay, the Yeshiva of Goshen was established, the Mokim Hoira of Goshen was established in Goshen. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu felt, it's ours. We legally own it. It was a gift that was given to my grandfather. My grandfather Avraham Avinu, I have the deed. I'm the Irish. I own Goshen. So set up shop in Goshen. So that's a very positive idea. On the other hand, the Ohud Medrash says, you're not going to believe this, Farish Medrash, Eretz Mitzrayim was called the Erva Saretz. It was a place, Mole Tuma, Arayos, Avodah Zarah. What was the worst of the worst? Goshen. Goshen was the Las Vegas of Eretz Mitzrayim. Shocking. So it was specifically there where Klal Yisrael was told to live. Not just in the land which in a whole was Ervas Haaretz. In the worst part of the Ervas Haaretz is where Klal Yisrael set up shop. Now, it's a shock why Yaakov Avinu would say that. That requires understanding. I don't know. Yes, Yehuda Sholach Lefanov Goshna. But it's not a shock that when Paro was shown, when the brothers, when Yosef presented his brothers to Paro, Paro said, you know what, live in Goshen. Why did Paro say live in Goshen? Because I want you fellows to assimilate very quickly into this land. If you're going to go set up shop.
I say this is Bavur Teshu Bieres Goshen, he saw Basman trying to call Roe Tzom.
Why Goshen?
People, the Mitzrayim are going to leave. They can't stand sheep herders, so they don't want to be around you.
That's one shot, but there's another shot. The shot is, you'll live in Goshen, and that way, very quickly, you'll become assimilated. Because if you're not going to get assimilated, this country is not going to tolerate you. Because they are, you people, you're an abomination for this country. Right. You're an abomination. They hate you. Even if you're going to live in the most remote corner of the land, we're going to set you up in some place and no one's going to ever see you. The fact that you're living in this land, the people of this country, they're going to come to get you. They're going to destroy you because they can't. They hate you. You Jews are an abomination for this land. The only way you're going to be able to survive here in this country, someone's not going to lynch you, is if you assimilate. So where am I going to put you to assimilate? I'm going to put you in the worst, most contaminated place. The place which really is the full culture of this country, Goshen. You'll live there in Goshen, give you in a week, you'll give up all of your ancient traditions, and you'll become a real, you'll adapt, you'll assimilate, and then you'll be one of the boys.
Right, well, that makes sense with the pasuk. It says, V'im yesh b'manchichayel v'samtam al asher mikne al asher li. You know, then he wanted them to assimilate so that they could be like Yosef.
Right. So the only question is, what was Yaakov thinking? And why did Yaakov also, B'davka, want Yehuda shalach lefon of Goshna? Okay, maybe some want to say it's not the same place. Goshna, with the hay at the end, is not the same thing as Goshen. Okay, there's Goshen, there's Goshna, but there's an okay. No, not necessarily. No, there's so that's the topic of discussion. Why, if this, so this is a medrash. The medrash is explicit. The worst part of Egypt was Goshen, and it explains everything when it comes to Paro. But it is Adarab when it comes to Yaakov. It's just the opposite.
Interesting when it says, when he complains to the brothers, it says, Lo kibot, Erev Asaretz Chosem Leros, when he yells at the brothers.
Erev Asaretz. You're coming to check out Goshen. You came to see your heritage.
You came to see Las Vegas.
Check up on your real estate. You came to check up on your real estate to make a macha. We're the Balabatim over here. We own this property over here. I have a star from Paro. Okay, so he gave Hagar. And he gave Goshen. What is Hagar and Goshen? These are the two Goliaths. Egypt, we have to understand, Egypt is the prototype for the Dalid Malchios. Right? Egypt is not part of Dalid Malchios. Why not? I mean, if there was ever a Golis in the Klal Yisrael, that's the Golis. So it means after Mitzrayim starts the Dalid Malchios. Bavel, Parasumodai, Yavon, and Edom. But Egypt was all four together. Egypt was all four. It captured the entire Golus. The first time Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, when he walked out of Egypt, what did he walk out of? Two things. Hagar and Goshen. Hagar represents Ashur. Goshen represents Mitzrayim. Uvohu oivdim bi eretz Ashur, vahani dochim bi eretz Mitzrayim. Enormous damage was done to the DNA of Klal Yisrael when Avraham Avinu, as the Ramban said, made a big mistake. Big mistake. There was a famine. Hashem said, Lech lecha, me'artzcha, umi'melatcha, umi'be'savicha, el oretz asher areka. I didn't tell you, Avraham, to take any detours. I told you to go. What? You have nothing to eat? So what? So don't eat. Don't eat. Figure it out. You go to Egypt? I didn't tell you to do this. Ramban. He says these very powerful words. Okay? He made a very big mistake. And there are major consequences. You know what the major consequences are? He came out of there alive by the skin of his teeth. Sarah was nearly abducted. Who knows what would have happened? And he walked out what you would think are two presents, two gifts. And I came out, I survived. Mazel tov. What I come out with? I came out with a piece of real estate as a gift, Goshen, and with a shivcha, Hagar. What? No, that was later. Bamikna, it says, but that was by Avimelech.
No, it was light.
That was light. You have to go back to the Pesukim. But when he came out of Egypt from Paro, what did Paro give him? Let's talk about what did Paro give him. Paro Melech Mitzrayim gave Avram two things. From Hagar, Grois Hatzaris. Yishmael.
But she was a very chashuvah. He married her twice, Hagar. He went back to Egypt to Sarah. He went back.
And look at the world today.
What?
Look at the world today because of Yishmael. Okay, so the Nitzaitzais. It seemed good. You don't know in life what's good. You're right. She was a very chashuva woman. There's no question. Yeah. We probably, this generation, don't come to her greatness.
She saw the Eibishter.
Yeah. She was milumid with Nisim. I mean, if she was alive today, we would bow down for brachas. There's no question about it. We would come bow down for brachas. But, you know, you're dealing with a different tekufa. There's a nitzitz. There's a spark of, there's an issue. There are issues. And Hagar was a gift from Paro. And what was the other gift? Goshen. What came up from these? These two things brought Chorban to the world. Goyshen, the Medrash says, was the spitz of the Ervas Haaretz. That had an effect on Klal Yisrael. Whether we like it or not, when we were in Egypt for 210 years, there is no question the tumma of Goshen crept in, sunk into our neshamas, and we suffer from that ad hayom hazeh. That's the Eretz Mitzrayim that's with us ad hayom hazeh. Uvoho avdim v'hanidachim Eretz Mitzrayim. What about Hagar? Hagar produced Yishmael, and Yishmael has driven us out of Eretz Yisrael. Denies our existence. Who was the first one to drive us out of Eretz Yisrael? Melech Ashur. He was the first. Melech Ashur was the first Melech to take Klal Yisrael and say, this is no longer your land. Out. I'm picking you up. I am removing you. What is Yishmael? The challenge, the only one that's challenged our possession of Eretz Yisrael today are the Arab nations. Those
Christians
who are
also, I mean,
not the
about
same.
It.
No, no.
They're
no, they're not. They're Christians. Esav Nasati is Har Seir. There's a lot of Mamor Chazal on this. Esav is not coming to challenge. Esav, it's pure hatred. You can live there. We'll destroy you there. You can live there. We'll destroy you there. But it's yours. Because Esav has its own. Esav has Har Seir. Esav is not interested. The only reason why they fight with Yishmael, the reason why they won Eretz Yisrael is not because of the Jews. It's because Yishmael. They have an issue with Yishmael. To get at Yishmael, they also won Eretz, but it's not primarily directed against us. And you see that today. You see that today when today that the Edoim, then they're very, very happy to get Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael.
They're not. Well, they think they're going to get it in the end.
I don't know.
It's not.
It's so we the first nation to drive out Klal Yisrael from Eretz Yisrael was at Ashur, and who is the one that has always from the very beginning of time has challenged our ownership of Eretz Yisrael? It is Yishmael. Yishmael and Ashur are partners. Uvahu ha'ovdim bi'eretz Ashur v'hani dochim bi'eretz Mitzrayim. It all goes back to the very, very beginning. Ma'isa avos simon labanim. Avram went to Egypt. He did an avera, as the Ramban says, and Ramban did a very big avera by not having faith in Hashem and sticking out storm the famine. He went to Egypt and he survived. And at the time, to an observer, it would appear that he came out way ahead. He came out with real estate and he came out with a shifra, but those two gifts were really the source of our tzaras from all these years to come. All these years to come are Yishmael, which challenged our legitimacy, and Goshen, which is where we ended up living because it was our property for 210 years, which was the worst, the Erva Asarich, which crept into our neshamas, and which we deal with, which we suffer at Hayom Hazeh. The influence of the Tumah, the influence of the Yetzirah, that's all in the Ervas Haaretz. And here, we're being mispalim, the day shall come, yecherdu kitzipa b'mitzrayim v'chiyonim yeretz Ashur, and we're going to return to the Boteim. Okay, so this is the Ma'ad, the Chaymer Sanach, very beautiful, how he takes these two together. And with that, we conclude the Perek Yud Aleph. Tomorrow, we will begin Yeretz Hashem Perek Yud Beis.
Yeah, I know. I'm learning.